Hello, welcome to the Angry Dorks podcast. We're very angry here. Okay, so welcome. We got Matt Blackwood, as always.
How's it going?
Ed Greer.
What is up, Er?
And now we have Joe Dosh, one of our special guests.
Hi.
And perfect timing, Clee is just sitting down with us. Clee Wiggins. Say hello, Clee Wiggins.
Hello.
Today's topic are two things, Star Wars buying Disney, and then we're going to talk about some Magic the Gathering. It's going to be a time. First, we're going to start off with Star Wars buying, being bought by Disney.
I have to be honest, I do not have a strong opinion about this.
Why not?
What?
Because the damage is done. The old bitch has already painted over the fresco with a little smiley face, so, I mean, why not let the kids color on it with crayons now? Like, who gives a shit? The argument in 1998, we would all be going, what the fuck? What's Disney going to do? Now it's like, well, it doesn't matter. They already tarnished the series forever with the fucking Phantom Menace. They can't do worse than the Phantom Menace.
Well, you say that.
I don't know that's necessarily true, but. I don't necessarily look at it as a bad thing. I think it is possible to do worse than the Phantom Menace. I have had many nightmares. But I think this is going to be a good thing overall. And the only thing that makes me say that really is the Avengers.
Okay. Well, and then the other thing is, what if they had just made Jar Jar Binks black instead of pretending he was black? How about that?
I don't think it was pretend. I think it was full on.
It was pretty clear there.
Yes, a massive racism.
Yeah.
But unaware racism, which is the most adorable kind.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like Lucas was like, let's put some racist shit in here.
Because, I mean, Lucas likes the black chicks.
Yeah.
His
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, his girlfriend is like one of the most powerful black women in Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah.
She's like the black Coco.
He's dating Oprah?
No, the way she dresses, I'm saying she's the black Coco.
She's the black Oprah.
Yeah, she is the black Oprah, his girlfriend.
Well,
since Oprah transcends race.
See, I'm a little worried. I mean, here's my problem. I see Disney do some great things. They left Marvel alone for the most part, and Marvel now put out some really good movies.
Yeah.
They're letting the creative people be creative. They're letting Marvel do their thing. They're letting Pixar do their thing still. They let Pixar do a movie about an old man.
I think
whose wife died.
Which the first 20 minutes of which is the most depressing thing since like Sophie's Choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've never cried so much in a movie before. Like Angus,
movie.
Angus, when, spoiler alert, when somebody dies in Angus, a couple tears, whatever, you know, William Wallace yelling freedom, you know, always a couple tears, you know, but that movie, I'm like wiping my face, just bawling.
Old Yeller was pretty rough on me, but you know.
Well, you know, I
like dogs and cats. You know,
I cried
that
at the
bitch
end
had
of,
it coming.
No, I cried at the end of Rocky 3.
Shut up! That's like that scene in Sleepless in Seattle. And we're like, whoa.
Because they didn't let the black man win. I mean, he beat up Rocky. He was better than Rocky. Then he goes.
They let him win for two movies. That's a lot for Hollywood.
Yeah, but they let him go get some black guy training, and all of a sudden he could beat Clubber Lang. That was bullshit. I cried. Mr. T losing. I cried. In the 80s, Mr. T losing to an Italian. Yeah. That made me cry.
And okay. Now you're like, where did all those freckles come from?
I mean, I cried when I watched Phantom Menace, not in a good way. Like, why?
The only saving
why?
Grace for seeing Phantom Menace the first time for me was that I was high on hash.
Oh, okay. Well, and let's, I'm not defending Phantom Menace or any of the other movies at all. But the fight scenes were pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Probably the best of the entire series, I would say.
Have we discussed on this podcast how stupid the Yoda fight is, though?
It is stupid.
Okay. Yes, that is a ridiculous fight. Especially because any master swordsman wouldn't jump around like that.
Right, no. Yeah.
He would literally just
cool
be like...
When the first time you see it, it looks amazing. And then every time you think about it afterwards, you're like, oh, it's so stupid.
Why would he do that?
Also, he wouldn't lose.
Why wouldn't he just cut his kneecaps off?
He would just... Yeah, he would just crush him.
Just jumping around.
It wouldn't even be a challenge if he's...
Like... I know the Jedi don't use the lightning force, but he can crush his kneecaps with his thoughts. Why not just do that?
Talking to the...
Oh, hello?
We're good.
Yeah, Joe's good now.
I can hear him.
Well, the one thing I would say also is what gives me hope is that it seems like Disney would know some of the things that we could do with the property now. You know what I mean? Some of the cool other stories. Klee has inundated me with some of the...
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit, too.
Yeah, some of the other stories, like Boba Fett shooting his way out of the Sarlacc Pit's cooch hole and all this different stuff. Like, all these cool stories that haven't been able to be told because, frankly, George Lucas isn't interested in them. They were created by other people, yeah. Stuff like that. All of George Lucas's reticence to do something with the other great stories that people have imparted will go away now that he has that
Yeah. I heard Boba Fett and the Cooch Hole is the first one that they're going to put out.
Yeah, Boba out of the cooch.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they're going to do. I doubt they'll do that because I think they're going to go. They're going to try to do Luke Skywalker
They've had meetings with Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford all this week.
Oh, they really did.
Yeah.
See,
Hamill and Carrie Fisher have both said publicly that they are in.
And Harrison Ford has said, "I'm not saying no." Which
Harrison
is almost-
Ford did say. I did Hollywood Homicide, so
pretty much anything. He said this week that I haven't said no, which for somebody as big as he is almost
pretty much
a yes.
Saying yes.
As a guy, that's practically a yes.
Well, and then here's the question: because they're older,
no, he just said I know.
Okay, first off, let me say I know.
Disney bought Star Wars. I know. And then he got frozen.
First off, I'm a
you kind of wish he would get frozen so he'd stop getting older.
Right?
He's not
I'm okay with
good.
Him being old, man. He's good.
That earring has got to go.
The earring, yeah.
That earring
at some point,
ages
when do you stop wearing
years.
An earring? I mean, what's the age?
That earring gives him 15 more years, huh?
What's the age you stop wearing your earring when you're a dude?
Forever.
Oh, no dude should
age
have any?
Zero.
How about if they have like 9?
So it's like if you're a male homosexual dominatrix, then that's absolutely fine.
Okay. If you are a pirate or an
or
orc.
A pirate.
Oh, I think you look great with an earring.
Yeah, if you're a pirate, an orc, a Bajoran. nerd.
What about a Boffin?
Me,
Boffin
wear
on?
Is.
It's from Star Trek.
That's why. So there is one thing I'm a little bit worried about. And here's the thing. Because with Marvel and with Pixar, they kept all the same people to work with Marvel and Pixar.
Yes.
There's nobody to work with Star Wars.
Well, George Lucas is staying on as a consultant, which means I will keep my turkey neck in the background. Thank God.
Yeah. Which was good with Empire and Jedi.
They've already hired a screenwriter for episode 7.
Yeah, the guy who did...
Michael Arndt.
Yeah,
Toy Story 3 and Little Miss Sunshine. So both two very good, very sad, very...
Different.
Downbeat, not really Star Wars-y movies, but I don't think that anybody... Yeah, that's true. I don't think that anybody should judge him based on that because
Toy Story does have action.
Well, I mean, like my consideration is that you know a storyteller is a storyteller, and this is if he's somebody
he tells
that's
a good
really
story,
interested,
tells a good story. Yeah.
If he's really interested in doing Star Wars, I mean, I'm all for him being the one. Obviously, he's a fucking good screenwriter. He's you know been nominated twice and won one you know Academy Award. Like obviously, he's good. So I don't think anybody should say, hey, he didn't do sci-fi
And
before.
They're doing a totally new original story, which I don't totally agree with. Like, if they're going to go there, there's fucking 70 books that are, like, canon.
And they're all fantastic.
Well, but they might put
a
couple.
Of which, like, yeah, 89% are fantastic.
Right, but they might put a couple of those together into something that's a movie rather
But no,
than,
they're doing a whole 100% new story. If they take elements, it might be enough to... Like, I'm not one of those, like, fanboys. Because I'm a super mega Star Wars fan. I know more than I should.
We've read all the books.
I've read about... 87% of the books, I would say. Because I haven't read all 70, but I've probably read about 50.
Yeah, it's about what I read.
And I'm not a super fanboy. Like, I give leeway to creative license. You don't have to do the books.
Well, and you know why I give creative license on Star Wars? Is because it was a movie first.
It was a movie first, and it wasn't created as this whole universe that it became.
Yeah.
It's not like Harry Potter where she had all this fucking shit in the background, and if they were to make a whole new Harry Potter movie that didn't use any of that shit, you'd be like, wait a minute, that bitch spent 20 years rewriting that shit. That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
It was all like people came to him and were like, Lucas, would you like to read this story I wrote? And then he says yes or no. But... So I reserve judgment on what they're going to do. I hope they do at least, since they're going to do a sequel to the original trilogy, they said that that's what they're going to do. Like, that is 100%, that's the direction they're going in. That what happens from there is anybody's guess, how far or whatever. But I hope they at least pull elements of the whole, like, I mean, they have to do the Luke and, I mean, Leia and Han getting married. Otherwise, everybody's going to be like, bullshit, I disagree with everything you've done.
Yeah.
So at least they don't incorporate that minimal amount of Han and Leia get married and have a bunch of Jedi.
I'm going to throw it out there.
Children.
I know that we already have a guy that they think should write it, but I think we know who should write it.
Who? Drew Carpathian? Because that's the only one I can think of that I would think
of. No, Joss Whedon.
No.
No.
Oh, go fuck yourself with that.
Yeah. Joss Whedon.
I get called a Joss Whedonite all the time. And, you're just a Joss Whedon fan.
He can't do everything.
And I'm like, I'm not. I like his stuff that's good, and I don't like his stuff that's not good.
And he has some shit that sucks.
But as soon as you praise him at all, it's, oh, you're a Whedon fanboy. But the problem is things like that. People saying, oh, yeah, Star Wars, Joss Whedon should do it. And then, they're doing a new Star Trek movie. Do you know who should do it? Joss Whedon. It's like, yeah, he did a really good job with Firefly and Serenity, but that doesn't mean he's the best person to do somebody else's story.
Yeah.
So far, he's like one and... two and four with other people's stories, right?
Approximately.
Because his X-Men was great.
Yeah.
His X-Men run in the comics was great. His Avengers was great. His Runaways sucked.
Yeah, I heard his Runaways was bad. I still haven't read it.
Oh, yeah. I've heard nothing but terrible things about Runaways. I gave myself a chance with Dollhouse recently, and I was like, no.
Dollhouse had its moments.
No.
But it wasn't good overall.
No. And what was the other series he had that I hated?
Well, one I don't know.
I think Firefly is one of the most overrated anythings.
Boo!
Whatever,
I'll be
Josh.
I'll be crucified for this. I don't get it. I tried really hard. I mean,
throat was legal. I would you in the throat.
Well, okay.
No, I could see how somebody wouldn't like Firefly because I initially. Like, just like, this is trash. I don't want to see this. Nate Fillion doesn't give me a hard-on.
Yeah.
I don't fucking... That whole thing...
He gives everybody a hard-on. That's bullshit.
With him and that stupid... him and that hoe bag. He's like all romancing a hoe for like three seasons.
That was intolerable.
The show lasted like, 14 episodes. Three seasons, I wish. Well, I have a John of those, too.
I'm just saying. It's just like, oh, yo, I'm trying to romance this hoe. She fucks everybody, but I'm trying to romance this bitch for 2 years unsuccessfully. It's like, dude, you're fucking Nate Fillion. Tell that bitch what's supposed to say. Hey, give me some pussy or get the fuck off my ship.
He banged Christina Hendricks on that show before everybody knew who Christina Hendricks was.
Mandy wrote the hilarious. We should have Mandy on this more often at some point. I mean, she wrote, if Joss Whedon writes it, Leah will be a lesbian. nice work,
with that,
Mandy.
With that
nice
Twilight
work.
Dancer in Jabba's
Yeah, the Twilight
palace.
Can like grab her by those bun things and just guide her.
That Twilight looks exactly the same, by the way. That Twilight dancer from Jabba the Hutt. They found her ass 20 years later to redo those scenes, and she looked exactly the same.
Oh, that's freaky.
Yeah.
Okay.
A black don't crack, because she's black underneath that green.
My worry is that because they don't have anybody specific to work on it, that it won't be... that it won't be good. That it's going to be Disney-fied.
But no,
it's
going to be Disney-fied.
They make toys
Disney
that's going to be made
out of their Disney realm. That's why they have other sort of studios that do. They're like this. Walt wouldn't approve, but his stepkids don't give a fuck. So they do these other sort of things. Mm. Like, I mean, I don't think Walt would approve of the Avengers, frankly, if he was still around.
I guess that's a good point.
And I like cases like
Iron Man's Jewish.
Yeah.
Tony Stark's theme.
his anti-Semitism notwithstanding.
Hey, my Amma's made of gold.
My lady had a good point in that she said one of the things that she's excited about is that now at theme parks, there's a good chance we're going to see
more Star Wars stuff. Yeah. I mean, you can't really license Star Wars much more than it's already been licensed.
But dude,
which is a good thing. I think one of the good things that George Lucas has done with the Star Wars property in that not only has he licensed it, but he's licensed it to just about anybody who wants it as long as he personally likes it. Like, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the podcast before, but there's a guy who does a one-man Star Wars. I wish I could remember his name. It is amazing. He does a one-man Star Wars of the original trilogy in like an hour and 15 minutes or so. And
it's David Prowse. He's like, this is how it should have been.
It's like a young dude.
I'm your father.
He did it for a while, and then he got a cease and desist letter from Lucas's lawyers without Lucas really knowing, and then they summoned him to Lucas Ranch, but they summoned him in such a way that was like, yeah, I'll be summoned like this. Like, they sent a car, and they sent a plane, and They like sent a plane where he from where he lives in the Midwest somewhere, and like, and then sent a car, and then they fed him like this sea bass lunch, like he's at freaking Jurassic Park for the first time, and
like they're just fattening him up to eat him.
And then basically George Lucas is like, okay, describe the show to me.
And they're like, midichlorians, Michael. You're eating midichlorians.
And then he goes, okay, and he describes the show. And then Lucas is like, okay, I'll come to a show. He comes to a show, and he's like, fine, how much do you make a show? And he goes, I don't know, maybe 10 grand. And he goes, all right, you can have the rights for $1,000. Literally, that's it. That's all he charged him. $1,000 one time.
Yeah, well, when you're that rich, you can do that. Yeah.
But it's like, there's a lot of people that, who would be like, fuck you, stop doing what you're doing. You're diminishing my brand. But Lucas is smart enough to know that at least.
I mean, you got
to
figure Disney's lawyers are going to do that.
Well, I heard that he put into his thing that all the licensing that's out there, they can't renege on.
Right, but they won't let any more shit go.
And then these are the people that are like getting around. He has enough power. I mean, I think he's also said that he's going to have some say.
They got around the copyright lapsing for Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
right. That went past its like 70 or 75 year mark, and they were like, we can figure this out.
Yeah, but I think he has it in his thing where it's like he also still has say on who gets licensed and who doesn't. Like, yeah.
Well,
it's
and
not
for
like
instance,
he
in
didn't
Disney,
sell like everything where he's just like, now I'm just going to go get even fatter. He's going to be.
He's fat?
You didn't know?
You he's, know?
He has a but that beard and flannel hide it so well.
Yeah. Hey,
I just thought he was burly, like the brawny
Charles Ross is the one man Star Wars guy. Mandy D.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. Adria actually makes a pretty good point. She said they totally sold out. So she's like, I don't want an entire park of goofy freaking Disney characters running around in Star Wars stuff.
No, that would be dumb too.
Oh my God, a big foam head.
I
of,
want scary
Darth
Bubba
Vader
Fett.
Throwing up inside the costume.
There's so many licensing opportunities you guys are missing. The fucking Jabba the Hutt buffet. The Sarlacc pit.
Or that bit in the future world, in Disney World.
Right, exactly. There's a giant Sarlacc pit now that you could throw kids down and they get digested over 10,000 years. There's so many things you can do.
Dude,
you
know what great.
I mean? Ed, we could kill kids tonight. I mean,
and what are you? Are you a Disney Imagineer now?
Yeah, I totally am. I'm applying for that job over the air right now. Also, we have the Stormtroopers marksman contest where you get points for missing shit.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. Except if you're going after Luke's parents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the only thing
you're
facing.
Or if you're shooting Jawas,
shoot.
Because only Stormtroopers are so precise.
Yeah.
When
exactly.
Shooting Jawas.
And
Jawas off screen.
And then they would have like a fun house where you could go in as a young Jedi and it would age you 17 years, which would make you fucking super old, like Alec Guinness and fucking Yoda. You just go in there.
You go from 30 to 55 in a
right.
matter of days.
Dude, there's so many things, guys.
And you could also practice killing younglings. You could practice going over to the dark side of the Force.
Yeah, and that'd then you could have one of those squeeze
randomly.
Things. You put your hand on it and you squeeze it and it tells you how many midichlorians you have.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just on some random shit. You
that know, could be like that could be a take home thing. Metachlorian stress ball.
That could be one of those little 50-cent things that they put in Cracker Barrel too. I mean, you just put the 50 cents and it's like, ooh, I would tell you how many metachlorians you have. Give me a quarter. I love quarters.
Okay, now
now you're being racist. Where's that Indian accent come from?
That is not an Indian accent. That's
whatever.
That gypsy accent from that game. You guys have never done that, but it must be a southern thing, I guess. I don't know that they have like all those little machines
a southern
like
thing
big?
Could be racist.
No. You've never done the little machine like the fortune teller machines for like 50 cents,
like big. Like, make me big. And
except
then
except the big one, you know, actually looks really cool. These are ones without that, you know, real-life interface.
Oh,
also, they don't actually grant your wishes.
Yeah.
Oh, bummer. That's some bullshit. I don't approve of that then. So, I don't know if any of you guys... Have any of you other guys read the Star Wars books besides me and Klee?
Yes.
Okay. I'm reading Darth Revan right now.
You've read the Thrawn series?
I read Vector Prime and then the Dark Throne right way years and years and years ago. Vector Prime was like, can we spoil something?
Yeah.
Chewbacca dies, I wanted to fucking cry.
Yeah, I did cry. It was one of the worst things ever. Chewbacca dies, by the way.
Yeah, the planet blows up, right? Or they drop a planet on him or something.
Basically.
He literally gets smushed by a moon. And
see?
Goes out roaring defiantly at the moon as it crushes him. It's pretty badass.
Oh, wow.
It is pretty badass.
I've already read all about the Vector Prime.
And he saves everybody.
That's the next one I'm reading. Mm-hmm. Is Vector
he
Prime
saves everybody doing it, too. So it's pretty...
And
sacrifice.
And Anakin Solo, he drives away in the Millennium Falcon, leaving Chewie to die, and then Han holds a grudge against him, and then he kind of turns to the dark side because of
it. That's when he becomes part of the dark side, yeah.
Yep.
I do know that part. Because I skipped over Thrawn, Army Back to Prime, and I went to win the whole Anakin.
It shouldn't be boring.
Anakin.
If you read them, you'd like
Luke
them.
Luke and Han's...
if you like Star Wars, you should read the Star Wars books. They're really good.
Luke and Han's kid, Anakin Solo, goes to the dark side.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah, Anakin stops, though. He gets back.
He does go back. He's like Darth Revan. He goes there and back again. Yeah, like Jason, a hobbit.
And actually, technically, Luke...
Like Darth Revan from Knights of the Old Republic? Same one?
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's even from Knights of the Old Republic.
Okay.
Which is the book I'm reading now, and it's awesome.
So it's a book version of the game Knights of the Old Republic.
Yep.
It was a book version that it takes place in between the first two games or whatever.
Okay.
How Darth even goes to the dark side and comes back.
So that's the thing is like, what would we like to see?
They're doing a sequel, so.
Well, you know what I'm not interested in?
What?
A bunch of goddamn old ass Mark Hamill and old ass no running. Dude, Harrison Ford couldn't run when he was 40.
Yeah.
Okay, let's be real. He is 74 years old. He is constantly high. He has an earring. He looks like a douche half the time. I mean, dude,
he's still awesome. But no, I don't want to see him running with his chest, his barrel chest
out. I think what'll happen is they'll have them being mentors. If they do it right, they'll have it where there's more Jedis, and they have...
Well, yeah, because, Luke does restart the Jedi Academy and starts looking for Jedi-sensitive
people. Did you just say he runs like Robert Mitchum?
Yes.
I just had the idea of him having hate tattooed on these knuckles, and then I know on these knuckles.
That's funny.
That'd be the best Han Solo ever.
Obviously, more lightsaber fights. Lightsaber fights are always going to be a fun spectacle to go watch in the theater.
And lightsaber fights in the books, like, if they just incorporate some of, like, the action they describe in some of the books.
I'm also scared they're going to just use some pretty-ass bitches.
Okay.
Like, Disney, you know what I mean?
Here's
like,
a note to Disney. If the male clerk at Disney is listening to this podcast and knows how to fucking slip a memo and just... I don't want to see a movie full of pretty motherfuckers. Please don't do that. You can have one or two. We need one of everybody needs masturbation fodder, but not the whole cast. If I see a fucking cast that looks like the cast of fucking Chicago Fire, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I want a mix. I want an interesting mix and some good aliens and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I don't want a bunch of explanation.
No, yeah, and
there won't be if they do it right. You're right. We don't need to do anything about the
Force.
Because
the original trilogy doesn't have a bunch of exposition, but we got all this exposition about trade and tax. Who wants to go to Star Wars and literally learn about tax law?
But that's the thing, though. That's the thing that I don't agree with or like, is that if they do it from the olden days of the Jedi and whatnot and show how that... It's the way they should have done the prequels.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the story right before the story we saw. It should be like 5,000 years ago. Why is there a rule of two? Why are the Sith this way? That's interesting to me.
Yeah.
And the people in the books from the little I've read, they're lightsaber fighting. They're cracking shit open. You know what I'm saying? They're throwing
Knights of the Old Republic is a badass game. That is
they're
such a good story.
Throwing lightsabers through people's
I was willing to do turn based fighting to get through to find out what happens in that story. That's how good that story is.
Yeah, that's good.
But and also if they do show that due to the fact that there's fewer Jedi accessing the power of the Force, that you can get infinitely more powerful because there's fewer Jedi.
What, like Jet Li's the one?
I'm just saying. I read a Dark Horse comic where there was an Imperial Walker coming down, and Luke Skywalker was in front of it, and he was like, you know what? Fuck this noise. And he just pulls his hand down like nails on a chalkboard. And the whole
that was when he was to the dark side.
And he's just like,
fucking
y'all.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I want to see
that.
The dark side's battle skills are more powerful than the Jedi's battle skills. To push my glasses up and get super nerdy with it. The dark side's battle skills are more powerful than the Jedi's battle skills, which is why they tended to, for the most part, win in a lot of
head-to-head fights.
Hand-to-hand fights.
The Jedi focus more on healing.
Because the Jedi focus more on healing and like branching out with the Force and being in tune with nature.
A lot more meditation.
Which is why they're
hoping against love is kind of
stupid to me. This is only like sort of...
A lot more high colonic spells.
Yeah. Well, and then later on in the books, like Jaina becomes like seriously badass. She gets trained by Boba Fett.
Hasn't read the books knows who that is. Yeah. That's an old character for you guys. That's not even mentioned in the movies. I'm just pointing this out.
Yeah, any character that's not mentioned in the movies, you have to say, Jaina is, by the way.
She's Jason, who is, they're the sons and daughter of Han Solo and Leia. And they're twins. And one of them goes, evil.
Jaina and Jaden, right?
Or Jason.
Jason. Jaina and Jason.
That would be fun.
Jaden became the Karate Kid.
Well played.
Well, strictly speaking, that was the Kung Fu Kid, though, wasn't it?
Why
didn't they just call it that?
In China, they did.
It makes sense. He's doing Kung Fu.
He's teaching Bintang Kung
it's
Fu.
It's a reimagining. Just call it the fucking Kung Fu Kid. It even has the alliteration. You get to keep the alliteration. Yeah. Call it the fucking Kung Fu Kid.
Because Kung Fu is lame.
They don't call it Star Battle. What? They call
Nobody
it Star
cares about
Wars.
Kung Fu after the show Kung Fu went off the air.
Oh my God. Watching that old white man do Kung Fu is like the saddest thing in the world. He moves at the same speed as the $6 million man, except the rest of the world isn't slowed down.
And also, let's point out that my idol got fucked out of that job. So, Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee got fucked out of that job because they were like, Bruce is a little too Asian.
Yeah.
We still don't have a goddamn Asian fucking lead on TV.
That's 100% true.
We don't have an Asian lead on TV. We barely have any Asians on fucking TV.
On movies.
Get all Filipino with a Mac Blackwood. Go for it.
Yeah. We like movies, Asian you get shit. We just don't only want to watch white people doing them.
We want to watch white people with Asian words tattooed on them.
I don't know what he's doing with himself right now.
Who?
John Cho is the only one that anybody cares about.
Yeah.
And you still were like, who?
Jet Li.
He's doing Sulu
in the Star Trek sequel.
Yeah, but I mean, what else is he doing with himself?
He's in the fucking Star Trek sequel. Like, what do you want from the man?
We see Chris Pine every other goddamn day. Where is John Cho? I would fuck John Cho way quicker than I'd fuck Chris Pine.
That's nice for him to hear.
It's a good thing John Cho regularly listens to this podcast. We love you, Harold.
Sorry, Ed.
If I ever see a goddamn Asian around. But ever. I'm beating up all Asians.
I've never seen any of the Harold Kumar movies, though.
They're okay. I mean,
the first one is really classic.
I just never gotten around to it. It's one of those movies that I missed in the theater and then never just sort of came
across. There's those movies that you just don't take like that seriously, and then you laugh at them
It took me like 10 years to see the first American Pie movie.
Yeah.
Well, I read the screenplay, and I didn't have any interest in seeing the movie.
Why would you read the screenplay? So you took the time out to read the screenplay, but you wouldn't fucking take an hour and 20 minutes?
Yeah, because it sold for like $1 billion in 4 days, and the screenwriter was supposed to be this wonder kid, and then I see this thing about fucking pastries, and I'm like, this is the trashiest, dumbest thing I ever saw in my life.
I like the first American Pie movie.
I do, too.
I mean, if I had seen it when it came out, when I was like 19 or 20.
But it was brilliant. You don't understand. These teenage boys in high school were really trying to get laid, and it had never been done before.
Oh, well, I mean, dude, that's a new
wrinkle. Well, it hadn't been done in a long time.
Did you not know? Oh, man. Yeah, oh, you didn't catch that when you read the first time. You know why? Because it was very deep. It was deep. It was like watching The Thin Red Line.
Yeah, I can't think of anything more deep than explaining fingering feels like warm apple pie. I mean, there's nothing more.
I feel like that's an apt description, really. Somewhat. It's not warm, not hot, not fresh from the oven.
I'll tell you one thing that I've learned about vaginas. It generally
McDonald's
doesn't burn my fingers.
Yeah, not McDonald's hot.
If you stick your fingers in and it feels like McDonald's hot apple pie, do not put your dick in there.
But Starbucks hot. Starbucks hot.
Starbucks hot.
Well, okay.
That bitch is Starbucks
okay,
hot.
Okay, so getting back to Star Wars, though.
Well, like I said, the thing that I wanted to just lay down is, like I said, I just want to see... It just really bothered me that the prequels... From what I could see from the cartoons, like the Clone Wars cartoons, I watched a Clone Wars cartoon where Mace Windu literally beat up 500 robots.
And it's one of the best.
That is the best.
It was the
grossest
shit I ever saw. And he gets blown out the window by an old man.
Yep.
With purple lightning. And it was like, fuck that. They took all the balls off the Jedi. They had them getting shot in the back by dudes who couldn't even hit Jawas. The Jedi's are standing right next to dudes. You got all these senses and shit. You can't feel 50 people around you about
you
to shoot
to
you in the back.
Out with the
I absolutely agree. I absolutely
That's
agree.
The fucking
Either,
point.
Whether
That's
they
the
go
point.
Back in time or forward in time, they should show more badass Jedi shit. What we saw was Luke Skywalker, a nascent Jedi.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel of
exactly
the Force.
Exactly. what do we got? Who's got some midichlorians? This guy's got 5 midichlorians. And we saw Obi-Wan and Yoda at the end of their lives. And that's like all we saw. The coolest Jedi shit was all Darth Vader. Throwing things, throwing his lightsaber. Like he was being badass, but he was still also old guy who was, you know, like 90% machine.
And it didn't have control over the Force.
So I imagine that hurt his connection to the Force.
It does, yeah.
So we need to see that. We need to see exactly that. We need to see Jedi's tearing the roof off of this motherfucker. Yeah. The other thing is I don't want to see the same goddamn planets over and over again. We don't ever need to go back to Tatooine. You know what? He says at the beginning of the first fucking movie, there's nothing there. And yet we keep going back to it. Fuck that. There's only like three planets in this whole fucking place.
Well, we got 5 billion
Tatooine, Coruscant. Have we been anywhere else? Indoor? Yeah. There's like 5 planets we've been to in 6 movies.
All right, well, here's my push for the movies. If I were a Disney executive, I would want to base them on a book trilogy.
Yep.
Just to like re-ingratiate the public. Then you can inundate them with a bunch of bullshit. But because the public is used to Star Wars as a trilogy. It comes in fucking groups of three. So I would either do an old trilogy. My personal two favorite pushes for the trilogies would either be the Darth Bane series or the Mandalorian armor series, which is the Boba Fett. Like, what was Boba Fett doing?
Who's Darth Bane?
I just don't think they will do that, and I'll tell you why.
They're not going to at all.
Is what I would like to see them do. I would like to see them do one with Luke and all of them first. And the reason behind that is because people will be like, oh, yeah, Luke, I recognize that.
Well, see, that's why I think
also, if you're
going
to do it, you got to do it now. They're going to die.
Well, no.
Do Boba Fett.
Carrie Fisher does not live long for this world.
If you did the Boba Fett trilogy, you could do that because they're mentioned and you could fucking Tron legacy them and make them look like you could re-put them into the old teams because the Boba Fett series I'm talking about takes place at the same time as the original trilogy. It's sort of like, what was Boba Fett doing while everybody else was off fighting the Empire? He was off on his own little fucking side mission.
Brad Gilbert, you were a dick.
So who's Darth Bane? That sounds cool.
Brad Gilbert said, I want to see a Jar Jar Binks spin-off movie.
That person should be stabbed in the face.
Block that guy.
But to answer Matt Blackwood's question, Darth Bane is the one who reinstituted the rule of two for the Sith. So it takes
is this
place
beforehand?
So it takes place 1,000 years prior to the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. So it's just before Yoda becomes a Jedi. But he's only, I think, briefly mentioned at the very end of the very last book. But it's basically like because the Jedi were a brotherhood in the same way that, I mean, the Sith were a brotherhood in the same way that the Jedi were an army at one point. And he kills all of the other Sith. And then reinstitutes the rule of two.
And he's like, don't underestimate the power of the Force. Then you'll have my permission to die.
Basically, yeah, he is a little bit like Bane from Batman in many, many ways. I won't even deny that is totally, like, he even at one point becomes covered in like these obelisks, like these creatures that attach themselves to his entire body so that all you can see is his face. And it totally fucks
and they
with
feed
everything.
Off the they feed off the dark side
they
of the Force.
They also make him super strong and give him more power within the Force. So while they're killing him, they're also making him stronger. It's very interesting.
It's a good book, and it also tells about the rule of two because he thought that the dark side was becoming weak because it was spreading everything out.
The Brotherhood was too thin because there were so many Sith. Like at one point, the Sith, they were an army, but they were a small army. There was maybe like 500 of them.
And then the nature of the dark side is thus that nobody really wants to work with each other because they all want
to Because they're all
shit.
Trying to undermine each
they
other.
They want to be the most
powerful
people.
So it's like
Bane Capital, except they were like the rule of one.
Exactly. It's like Bane Capital and Bane from Batman combined.
I hope your Force goes bankrupt. I can make a bunch of money.
They should just give Bane from Batman a lightsaber and just make that movie.
All right, sounds good.
I'd watch that.
I'd watch the Bane movie.
I think I'd watch that too.
All right, so at least we've got an idea of where we think Star Wars should go.
Have you seen Tom Hardy rap?
No.
Watch that shit on YouTube. He does some KRS-One. It's fucking amazing.
Cool.
KRS-One,
guys. So now we're going to move over to, I think we've gotten some of the Star Wars out. We may revisit this later on.
Well, we'll get new news next week, probably.
Yeah. Right now we want to talk about Magic the Gathering. I assume Ed has never played Magic the Gathering.
Ed is going into sleep mode.
That's your loss, Ed.
I've never played it either.
If you didn't know, Joe, Ed hates Magic.
Really? Why? I'm not offended. I'm just curious.
Not the game, the concept of Magic.
Okay, I think I've gotten this down to a succinct sentence. Uh-huh. I don't like the way that most magic is explained in regards to the rules of it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's even got as much scientific basis as most superhero powers in comic books. Whenever I see magic, it makes me mad because it seems like there's... It's just the limitations on it are always stupid.
I can magic up everything but wood.
Yeah, you can't.
Like, I don't get that.
You can't
that.
Do that just because. Well.
Oh, yeah, it just seems like magic should work. Like I said, the only cool thing I've ever seen about magic was in a comic book, and this guy named The Drummer, he said, magic is the cheat code for the world.
Well, you see, in Magic the Gathering, what you do is you draw magical energies around the land around you, and you use that to summon things, so it all makes perfect sense.
Okay. Yeah. Well, no, you totally got me, Joe.
No, you would appreciate at least the rule in Magic the Gathering because there is a one-to-one cost that you can see. It is one land draws out
one mana.
Mm-hmm. And that is it. And you need, like, say, 5 mana to cast a certain spell. You better have 5 land available to you at one time.
Exactly. One mountain.
But can I choose to do that and kill myself? If I don't have 5 mana, but I choose to do a 5 mana spell, can I fucking die? Can I sacrifice myself like Chewie and get smashed by
There are some spells where you can sacrifice life for mana, if that's what you're referring to.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, you have to know the spells, though, which means having them in your hand of cards.
You'd have to play that enchantment.
The cards are
first.
The magic.
You have to have the mana first to play that enchantment before you could draw your own life to get more mana and cast more spells.
Yeah. Okay.
There's rules to it.
There's rules to this shit. Yeah.
I've never played Magic the Gathering, and it sounds like a headache.
This is all your loss.
Who plays board games here, or any games?
I played my mom and I played Dungeons and Dragons, which is
okay. This is a lot simpler than Dungeons and Dragons, actually. Okay, for the completely uninitiated, think chess. Now, instead of pieces, it's cards.
Mm-hmm.
You get to choose what cards are in your deck. So instead of doing one queen and one king and one knight and one or two knights, whatever, you know, instead of doing that, you choose whatever you want to put in your deck, you know?
Mm-hmm. As long as you get it. Because you got to buy packs and sometimes get fucked.
That is a whole other argument.
Yeah.
So it's like it's chess combined with like baseball trading cards combined.
It's like the Pokemon card game for like weird, smelly, heavy metal dorks who smoke a lot of pot and like kind of worship Satan. Like that's
like just a little bit of worshiping Satan.
I always thought the Pokemon cards were like Magic the Gathering, but for, you know, 12-year-old girls who weren't interested in penises.
Yeah, but more people are familiar with Pokemon.
We used to talk such shit about the Pokemon people in the card shop like they were the fucking losers.
That just shows you there's always a strata.
Oh, yeah.
Like they have their own little
15-year-old boy playing Pokemon. Class. You were like, dude, have you not hit puberty yet? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude, we're concerned about you. You're in some dark shit.
Mandy said, guys, for real, D&D game. I will DM, and it will be amazing. Ed can be a warlock and learn to love magic. Let's do this.
Yay, Mandy.
I am totally down for that.
I want to be a paladin.
Paladins have magic.
Oh, damn it. Okay, who's the one that has no magic?
Barbarian,
fighter.
Usually.
Okay, fighters. Barbarian. I'll be a barbarian and whoop everybody's fucking ass with straight grit.
All right. That's fair.
Let's do it.
True grit.
Oh, we'll get to play together and play a D&D game. We should film some of that shit and then cut it down.
And you can film me flipping the board over when my sword doesn't work. It's an 8th-level dragon spell. I'm like, fuck this! I threw my sword in that dragon's mouth. I should have blew up,
I cast
dog.
2 red mana and cast Greer Rage.
That's awesome. For those of you who don't know, let's... I mean, we already pretty much described what Magic the Gathering
okay,
is.
Okay, so you've got a certain amount of land cards in your deck. Okay,
land,
so
meaning hits that you land on people.
No.
They're cards that are actually just land, and there's 5 colors.
Mm-hmm.
There's swamps create black mana. There's mountains create red mana.
Yep.
Plains create white mana. Islands create blue mana.
Correct.
And forests create green mana.
Yep.
Okay, so you've got all these 5 different types of land. Okay, mm-hmm. You put whichever in your deck you are going to want to use. Right?
Right.
And so when you pull your hand of 7 cards, whatever land you have in your hand, like you can play 1 land at a time, and you just keep drawing cards every time. So you're slowly building up the land that's out.
You can play 1 land each turn, so then by, you know...
Playing it means it's like putting it on the table, and that is what you can access as far as...
using to get mana
and
or...
Right, and they call it tapping it.
Tap that land to get one, and you put mana into your mana
pool. Yeah, I'm going to tap that
in
land.
In fact, you said, can you kill yourself with it? If you don't use your cast mana in your mana pool, you get
what's called
mana burn.
You do take damage, that's right.
Yep.
So you're slowly building up your land, all right? And from the land, you get the resources, and the resources are mana. That's, you know, just raw magic energy for you to use, okay?
That you draw from the land that you've gotten.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can use that to play spells, some of which are summoning creatures, and the creatures you play on the table, just like the land.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And some of them are just straight up spells, things that you do. Like, okay.
Or defend.
So, okay. Here's a big distinction between it and chess that I always make for people mm-hmm. is that in chess, the king is you.
Mm-hmm.
In magic, you are you. Okay. So, all the creatures,
but you can be you
every
in chess
creature,
too if you're playing
and every,
wizard's chess.
Every creature and every land. every creature and every land that you have on the board could be destroyed. The game is not over because you can keep drawing more cards from your deck. You are you. You start the game with 20 health. When that health is gone, then you lose the game.
Yep.
Brett Gilbert said, wow, describing Magic the Gathering is the most boring thing ever done on internet radio.
Yeah.
Well, we have to, for the people who are listening who haven't.
Describing the plots of Star Wars books?
No, well, Star Wars books are fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
nobody wrote in saying that was boring.
But describing the plots of them that you've already read.
Because Brett, the rule of two.
Brett, I hope you die. Yeah.
No, Brett Gilbert is absolutely correct.
I don't hope you die, but it is. But we needed to get it out of the way so that people know who aren't Magic
Gathering fans. That's basically what Magic is. And obviously...
is it still popular? That's the question I have.
Super popular.
Yeah.
Although they dumbed it down big time. Like, I don't like the way
they dumbed it down.
They did. It's
the same thing.
I don't like the way they're talking to us like we're the losers in this room right now. Like, they're above all this shit.
It's the same thing they say about D&D.
I'm not doing that. I'm drawing a picture of Daredevil, who got his powers from radiation. So I'm not better than anyone.
Yeah.
Because
radiation is always giving everybody superpowers. That's why Japan is just full of superpowered people.
They're talking us right.
If you have the power to sniff panties.
No, Japan's full of superpower heroes now.
You have the power to sniff panties out of a vending machine. I mean, the powers are just weird.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, their powers are just everything tiny.
Mandy said, Matt, I thought your description was sexy and interesting. He also has sex with Matt, so I don't know if that's...
Like, toxic waste got poured on Daredevil. I mean, that's what happened to him. The first time he got hit, he should have exploded like that dude in RoboCop. Like, he should not have gained powers from it. They could have just explained it with, he has that.
Well, I
don't like explanations of things
modern
broken.
Comics, they kind of say, just like they're trying to do with Spider-Man, that Spider-Man always was going to be an arachnid totem, and he always was the bearer of this new arachnid power.
See, and I didn't like that, because it's just explanation.
I think that super sucks. But with Daredevil, it's like he was always going to be a ninja adept. He just happened to go blind, so he had to get some extra training from a blind dude. You know what I mean? It was like him and Elektra were the adepts of this.
And if they just done that, it'd have been better.
Yeah, and I don't like any of that.
It was back at a time when they didn't know radiation doesn't give you anything but cancer.
Well, I don't.
And Gojira.
Well, like I said, guess I am addicted to explanations.
About Benjamin Button.
Yeah. I think maybe that's my
actually
advice.
Like the explanation because first off, and what happens, what's so cool about Magic the Gathering as far as the times I've played, and I've only played a few times, but what I really enjoy about it is there really is strategy that you're playing on a card game.
For sure.
And it makes it so interesting because you know what's in your deck. Even up to 60 to 90 cards, you have an idea of something that might come along that you can play. And if it's the right type of thing, and if you know your opponent or getting a read on your opponent, you can make a move to fuck with him. I think it's really interesting, and that's why a lot of Magic the Gathering guys, we were talking about this earlier, they ended up playing poker because they knew strategy so well.
And doing very well in the professional poker world.
And doing very well in it. So,
that'd be the only reason I want to play Magic the Gathering, because I suck at poker.
It'd be funny if they got confused.
Well, let's just play some poker then, Klee.
Yeah.
And we could really get confused because it's like, oh, this queen has red mana, so I better throw it down. Wait a minute. I fucked up my straight? Oh, no. Damn it. I got mixed up. This sucks. I lost $50,000. This is terrible.
What were you going to say, Joe?
Well, I was just going to say, like, especially if you end up, you know, I grew up in South Dakota where, you know, the five dorks in town who played Magic, like, you get to know, like, your friends' decks, and then you can, like, fuck with them because you, like, know their dumb little strategies. I've gotten into fist fights over Magic before.
That's hilarious.
You know why?
Joe, you getting into a fist fight must be awesome.
You know why? You know, here's why. Because I had my friend, and he had his stupid little combo, and he did, and I cast my Icy Manipulator, and I was going to disenchant his Icy Manipulator,
oh my
and he
God.
Totally said... that like I totally did it on the one that was untapped. And he's like, no, Joe, you did it on the one that was tapped. And that was the difference in the game. We got into a big fight and then we punched each other.
You sound like a Patton Oswalt bit.
Yeah.
Which I love Patton Oswalt.
I do. I love him too. Despite what he did to Barbara Gray.
No, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with HeroClix. Anytime you're playing the same people over and over, you see the mistakes that they make, and you can always in your head go, okay, mental note. They make that mistake a lot. But the thing is, you can do that in sports too.
Yeah.
I mean, like we have a ping pong table at my job. And we had a ping pong tournament and stuff. And I noticed that this one girl is very good at ping pong, but she makes the mistake of going for balls that are way out. Like she goes for the high ones, like as a reflex, goes for it. And I was like, well, fuck that then. Yeah, I'm just going to send it high all the time then. Yep. Just send it high and fast, and she's going to go for it. And she just kept falling for it over and over again because you notice their weakness.
Is her name Kit, and was she in League of Their Own?
I
like the high ones.
I sold one of my Magic Gathering cards for $300 on eBay.
Holy shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We sold our HeroClix collection, the majority of it, like 95% of it before we came here, for about $3,000 to $4,000.
Wow.
Good Lord, nerds. Yeah. I mean, could you?
What card was it?
It was called Time Vault, and it was in the restricted line of cards, which you could tell that they were that because all the cards were faded. And it comes into play tapped. It's an artifact. And normally all your cards untap at the beginning of every turn. But the only way to untap Time Vault was to sacrifice one of your turns. So you'd have to give your opponent an extra turn to play, but then you'd untap it, and then you could tap it again to get another turn.
Oh, cool.
Tap-a-tap-a-tap-a.
It was hot shit.
So you're saving a turn for later, essentially.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
That could be really, really useful because you sacrifice a shitty turn when you don't have a bunch of creatures and stuff out, and then you save it for later when you have like a bunch of, when you have your whole army, and then you just hit twice.
And this was all worth $300 to some guy.
Yep.
Wowzers.
The ability to do this.
Well, to some guy's parents who want to spoil their kid.
Well, in that guy's defense, by the way, there's tournaments that you can make a lot of money.
Well, not a lot of money.
Like a pretty good amount of money.
For somebody that doesn't have a job, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. Or like
a couple grand, right?
For the 15 and 16-year-olds that play, a lot of money. But I mean, for a 30-year-old, get a fucking job.
Yeah. I don't want a job, fuckface. I want to play Magic the Gathering.
Oh, thank you. Go get some Section 8 apartment housing together, Ron.
Also, that would be fucking sweet. Also, let me point this out. One of the other things, and this is just for a fantasy book reader and who's obsessed with fantasy books, that's my closest thing to pretending I have magic. Mm-hmm. Just for a minute. That's
my closest thing is walking through the door at Trader Joe's. Just.
I think always seemed like a fantasy book come to life.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's fun about Dungeons & Dragons and Magic Gathering and all these
I got
other
into
things.
D&D because my mom really wanted to play, and as a grown woman in the 80s, had literally no one to play with.
Yeah.
Well, so she's like, children.
Also, that's something I wanted to bring up.
Here's one of them.
One of the things that I've been doing is I go to a game, like a gaming thing with a bunch of nerds. Yeah. On Friday, it's going to be on Fridays, we're going to start going to Paladino's. It's in Tarzana. It's very classy.
That's very fun.
Bar itself is awesome. It's on 6101 Reseda. And because it's always been my idea, because once you're an adult and you want to play games like that, mm-hmm. a lot of times you want to drink mm-hmm. because people love to do that when they socialize, right? And then on top of that, you know, where do you go? Where do you find people who are going to play these games with you? One, two, where can you go and be an adult? Because most of the time, if you want to play HeroClix in a tournament, you got to go to a comic book shop or maybe your buddy's house if you're lucky. But most of the time, you've got to go to a comic book shop where people who play these games can meet. Mm-hmm. And on from Friday, I think it starts at 3 to 7, we're going to be playing different games and shit like that. So if anybody ever wants to come out and play with me and a couple of my friends.
As a black woman in her 30s in the 80s, my mom had literally no one to do these things with, play video games and
What are you going to do?
Dungeons and Dragons.
And there's plenty of adults, because that's what happens is now Joe Doss moves from South Dakota and the five people he knows who played Magic the Gathering aren't there anymore. Now he's got to find new people to play Magic the Gathering.
And also,
they're down to
four. Poor things.
I mean, we're all busy now doing.
In the city of 6 million, though, I think he's going to find a few.
Yeah, but you'd think that would be the case, but you end up missing a lot of people.
But how many can he punch?
Yeah. That's the point. How many will get into a fist fight with Joe?
A great many of them are Asian. So you don't want to take that risk, motherfuckers.
Yeah, because it could be either a very easy victory or no teeth forever.
Yeah. Only one out of 10 of us actually knows some shit. But that one
but
knows
you never
some
know,
shit.
Yeah. But the one who does know could kill you.
Exactly.
They never know just a little
Mandy
bit.
Mandy just said,
know.
Matt, if we ever have children, it will be for forced D&D. She doesn't want kids to like have kids. She wants kids so she has somebody to play D&D with. That's awesome.
Honey, we need another striker.
My mom, I think, basically had me and my brother to play, to play D&D with, to play Scrabble with, and to serve her coffee and cake while she watched Star Trek.
Nice. Nice. So what got you started
in D&D?
She
basically gave birth to server
D&D,
droids.
Just at not D&D, but Magic Gathering, Joe.
My cousin Mike got me into it when I was a kid, and he was kind of a dick, but... I remember the day I could beat him was a really big deal. He didn't talk to me the rest of the trip. He was like the oldest cousin in the family, and he would just beat all the younger ones.
Was this like the 100th time that you played or something?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I always loved that. Any game where I would lose a lot, like I feel like there's two kinds of people. There's people that if they lose a game a bunch of times, they're like, fuck this game's stupid. And there's people that when they lose a game, they go, oh, great. Okay, I'm learning. And then you just keep losing and losing and losing and losing and losing, and it just drives you to play it more. And those people are gambling addicts.
Yeah, you don't want to.
I concur.
I concur as well.
Because I'm that kind of person, so playing Rock and Roll Racing and eventually beating my brother, awesome. Going like, I know I can roll an 11 if I really put my mind to it.
Not so awesome. Okay, and then the other thing I want to do is compare Magic the Gathering nerds to other gaming nerds or video game nerds or whatever. What do you...
They're the worst.
You think...
you're like us to the Pokemon kids. You're not better than us, Klee. Like,
the Gathering people at least have to be in the same room with each other. The video game nerds can be anonymous, smelly...
These days. I grew up in the days when that was not a possibility.
Yeah, me too. You had to come in over and play.
You got
to
come over.
I long for those fucking halcyon days of yore when you could play GoldenEye, four guys in a room trash talking with each other. That was the best.
It was GoldenEye. It was still fun.
The screen was split four ways, so each of you had like a 5x5 inch little thing that you were looking at. It was impossible not to screen look.
Yeah, you're just staring at shitty polygons. Your eyes are bleeding.
And you're going, this is the most fun I've ever had in my entire life.
Well, yeah, I
one day I'll see a boob.
Yeah, I think GoldenEye is the reason why I don't like first-person shooters to this day, because I came into it too late.
Yeah, I sucked at that so bad.
So fucking awesome.
That I came into it on the late side, so yeah. Everybody was destroying it, Halo. They already knew where all the drops were. They knew how to... So it was like, I respawned, boom, sucks. Dead.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I spent the first five, about half an hour of playing GoldenEye, staring up at the ceiling and running in a corner while people came and shot me in the head from behind.
I'll tell you this. I played Magic for the first time in a couple years the other day because I showed up to a Heroclix tournament early. And the guy walked me through it that I played against, and I ended up beating him.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, like, I feel like you get a lot better chance at that than at video games.
Yeah.
He's dead
before
now.
Before we end this, which is ending way sooner than I would like to because I'm having the greatest time ever. I don't know if you guys listening are having fun, but I am. Klee wants to say something.
I just want to give a shout out to my brother because today is Veterans Day and he is a staff sergeant with the Marines and he's also having shoulder surgery in a couple weeks.
That's like that real GoldenEye.
He is a real GoldenEye and he fucking is awesome at GoldenEye. I think that's the reason I like first person shooters is because I played with him for literally hours. Like my mom almost kicked us out of the house when we came back to live with her after college and she was just like, are you guys still awake? Playing this game, between Madden and GoldenEye.
Got to give props to our veterans.
So yeah.
Let's do a quick, very quick plugs. Joe Dosh, any shows coming up?
Yeah, I have a show tomorrow at Flappers at 7:30. It's $2 Tuesdays. It's one of the best lineups I've been a part of. I'm really, really excited about it. Come check it out.
All right. Hey. Ed Greer,
I'll probably be at the Comedy Store sometime this week. I called in my avail, so check me out.
At Matt Blackwood on Twitter, and as always, check out What Were We Talking About, my podcast that I do solo. Well, not solo, but separate from this. Our most recent episode is Doctor Who. It's our Doctor Who episode.
Ooh, that's going to be good.
Tomorrow night, I'll be at UCLA brewing up some laughs. I can't remember what time it is. I think it's 8 o'clock.
All right, who's hosting it?
Robin Higgins.
I love Robin Higgins.
She's awesome. Okay,
she needs to have her on the pod.
Yeah, we will get her on.
She's adorable.
And for me, my birthday is November 20th, and I have a show at the Ontario Improv. I have a guest list, so if you really want to go, let me know. And Angry Dorks every Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. Thank you and good night.
Oh, and follow me on Twitter at Cleek the Pimp.
Bye.